Welcome to the Closing Mark Report. It's Feb 24, 2008. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing in Normal, Illinois. And later in this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. In agricultural news, farm bill negotiators failed to make a breakthrough over the weekend. U.S. Wheat Associates are blaming end users for not covering their needs in the free market. And on the flip side of that, that same organization is asking USDA to release CRP acres and for Congress to roll back the ethanol mandates. Dave Dickey will have details of these stories later in the half hour. And then I'll bring you up to speed on where the Beef Expo and, more importantly, the Illinois Performance Tested Bull Sale will take place this week. Hey, and don't forget that just after the bottom of the hour, we'll check in with the folks at Chesapeake Energy to discuss the global agricultural weather forecast. It all happens on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of WILL AM 580, public radio from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123. Or email to cooley at admworld.com.
In Chicago on this 25th day of February, the futures finished the day like this. The March contract at $11.09, up 60 for the afternoon. The May futures at 11.24.5, up 60. And July contract at 10.46.5, up 60. Kansas City wheat March contract at 11.67.25, up 60. New crop July up 60 at 11.25.75, all those the limit higher. And they were following the nearby March contract in Minneapolis higher at $24 a bushel. Their settlement price up $4. That's right, $4.75. May futures at 17.08.25, up the 90-cent limit. July at 13.90, up 90. And the September spring wheat, which is the new crop for the spring, at $12.15, up 90 as well for the day. Corn futures March contract at 5.33.25, up 11, May up 12 at 5.47, and July at 5.58.75, up 12. December contract 5.57.25, up 7 cents. March beans at 14.52, down 32, rather up 32 for the day. May futures up 31 at 14.69.25, and November at $14.17, up 26.5 cents. Live cattle February contract at 1960, 60 higher, and the feeder March contract at 104.20, up 27.5. Lean hogs April contract down 3 at 60.50. This is WILLAG.org. Outside markets now like this. Crude oil futures at $99.35. They're up 54 cents. May futures up 38 cents a barrel at $98.80. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at 75.54. Or rather, the Dow Jones Industrial Average at 12,504 is up 123 points on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the two-state region this afternoon. Winter storm warnings are in effect for the extreme northwestern parts of Illinois until noon tomorrow. For the remainder of northwestern Illinois from 3 o'clock this afternoon until noon on Tuesday, and for far northern Illinois this afternoon through tomorrow afternoon, for northeastern Illinois from 6 o'clock this evening until noon tomorrow, and for a portion of north central Illinois and northwestern Indiana from 9 o'clock tonight until 4 o'clock this afternoon. The winter storm watches are in effect for portions of central Illinois west of the Illinois River from 6 o'clock this evening through tomorrow afternoon, and for central Illinois east of the Illinois River from 9 o'clock tonight through tomorrow evening, and for northern and central Indiana through late Tuesday night. A winter weather advisory is in effect for small portions of west central Illinois from 6 o'clock tonight through noon tomorrow. Tonight in the northern and west central parts of Illinois, our own Mike Solis says snow increasing in intensity through the evening. In east central Illinois and the northern and western parts of Indiana, rain changing to snow. Elsewhere, rain. Lows will range from 20 in northwestern Illinois to around 40 in the southeastern parts of Indiana. Tuesday, the forecast looks like this. In central Illinois and across Indiana, snow heavy at times. Elsewhere, snow showers, windy and colder, and blowing snow. Highs will range from 24 in the northwestern part of Illinois to 40 in the southeastern part of Indiana. A complete look at the ag weather forecast comes up just after the bottom of the hour.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
On this Monday afternoon, time to take a look at what happened in the world of agricultural commodities. Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing out of Normal, Illinois, joins us this afternoon. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Boy, we better start, I suppose, in Minneapolis, where this was the first trading day, the 25th of February, where the nearby March contract did not have a limit. And boy, did it not have a limit today. $4.75 the move to the upside, and that wasn't all it had in it when it finished. It had a dollar more than that before it was done, didn't it?
Yeah, as far as the pit trade goes, it did have a high trade of $25 a bushel, up over $5.75. So definitely, I don't care what anybody says, definitely some squeeze play taking place there. Just continued real tight deliverable supplies of the spring wheat. Speculative interest wanting to hang on to it. We'll see what tomorrow brings, see if it actually follows through. But who dreamt $25 wheat in Minneapolis when $20 was upside objectives by a lot of them? But news that Canada will be short on spring wheat due to some competitive crops and more durum wheat sort of added a little fuel to the fire, too. And that sort of put the whole sector in a panic buy mode, concerns that northern China could be turning to the drier side here where their wheat is raised, also gave some speculative buying. Then, too, we're seeing some countries starting to impose some export tax on wheat going out of the country to sort of curb that movement. So, therefore, if Egypt and some of these other countries would happen to be buyers in the world market, they would probably have to come to the U.S. and include U.S. wheat and some of their mix. And this sent the market sharply higher and kept the market locked limit up most of the trading day. Real speculation on how high we're going to open in the evening trade. Some of these options guys thought that May wheat could have as much as another dollar in it. The July and December wheat as much as 40 to 50 cents higher yet, Todd.
Do we know how many are left open or in deliverable positions or will be caught yet in that nearby March contract? What's still in that trade?
Well, anybody that's wanted out should be in a position to, should have had an opportunity to get out. As far as the open interest, it's just a little over 2,000 contracts left open there. You got to remember, this Minneapolis exchange is a real small exchange. You know, they've been trading 5 to 10,000 contracts. Now they've become so much as same popular, for say. You look at Kansas City, as much as 50,000-60,000 contracts, and Chicago, well over 100,000-150,000 contracts of wheat, you know, on a good day. So, you know, it's relatively smaller. Compiled with a tight fundamental situation that just says fireworks all over it.
Well, what does it mean for, and I guess we saw what it means for the other exchanges, 60 cents higher in both Chicago and Kansas City. Will they continue to follow the grain exchange higher through this process, or at some time point will they simply just unhook?
Well, it unhooked their just not too long ago, but all of a sudden we're back in the saddle again here with all the wheat moving in tandem somewhat. The test will be tomorrow with the Kansas City and Chicago going to 90-cent limits. But when you look at the fundamental news now, it includes all varieties of wheat almost. Mm-hmm. And so therefore the news has expanded from just spring wheat in Minneapolis to hard red winter wheat, soft red winter wheat in general. And we had panic buying worldwide. You know, there's a real concern that this could be a little tighter than expected, and they're wanting to secure needs now, not later on in June or July or August when we see more new crop wheat readily available since we get through harvest.
Can you call soybeans and corn followers today, despite the fact that they made new contract highs, or is there something else afoot there?
Well, we feel it spilled over somewhat. You know, when wheat's locked limit up and you can't really spread amongst itself in other months, the tendency is to buy some other commodities in case this whole thing goes together. But beans sort of did their own thing from the point that the world vegetable oil screamed to new highs overnight. China was rumored to have bought over 300,000 tons of bean oil in the world market and over 25 cargoes of beans. And that's probably going to be divided up between the U.S. and in South America. But overall, that is strong global demand as they continue to see the food inflation in their country, trying to secure some inventories to stop that. Then also, too, weather in Brazil, some of the northern regions where they're trying to get some beans out of the field. And they've got some very good beans in some areas there. They're starting to be hampered with some moisture, too. So beans, in a sense, did find some bullish news of their own to support that. Then corn was sort of a follower compared to the other two markets.
So we have new contract ties in the March contract for corn. But tell me what you see. Can you make a move to, I think, was it 554.5 as the 96 lead option hike in March, push into that area? It's still got a place to go, I guess.
Yeah, there's enough ammunition there that as long as these other markets stay firm, why not? We're here. There's upside objectives of that. And as far as the new crop December corn, there's some targets up towards $6. So, you know, with the bullish enthusiasm we got, you know, we should stay intact and hopefully until we get to those levels to offer some selling opportunities for producers. But we've sort of run out of sellers in here. Who wants to sell? You know, anybody short to market's got a loss. We're seeing some margin call liquidation. And so until we actually see some news here to curb the bullishness or see some type of technical reversal here, you got to look for those higher upside objectives to be achieved.
Well, who wants to sell, but do you have places where you think producers would be likely sellers?
Well, at the high.
At the high. So, well, how about this? March at 550 and $6. What do we do?
I'm sorry.
Yeah, call Kurt Kimmel at 1-800.
Cash. That was a very popular spot. I would say the next objective would be 550 cash would be another popular spot to do it. As a grain marketer, we're sort of using 50-cent increments ourselves to sell a little as we go up because our fear is that if we do turn this market back lower, they could probably go down just like it went up in a hurry. So we like to be a scale-up seller as we go, of course. And on the corn, I would say every 50 cents. As far as beans go, I'm sure it'd be this type of scenario, except every dollar, $14 cash beans, $15 cash beans, $16 cash beans, and so forth.
All right. Thanks much, Kurt.
Very good.
Kurt Kimmel is with Grainfield Marketing out of Normal, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Mark Report that happens each and every Monday afternoon.
The WILL All Day Ag Outlook meeting is set for Tuesday, March 4th at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. We've got a terrific lineup, including nationally known speakers Dan Bossi and Glenn Ring. AM 580 Chief Meteorologist Ed Kieser will give us an early word on planning. We'll dig into estate planning with Bill Moore of WB Moore Incorporated, and we have panels on corn and soybeans. The cost is just $13 and includes a continental breakfast and lunch buffet. Registration begins at 8:15 a.m. Eastern Time. That's 7:15 a.m. Central. The 2008 All-Day Ag Outlook meeting is made possible with support from the Andersons, Cargill, and the Archer Daniels Midland Company.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
A whole series of winter storm warnings and watches are out for the two-state region. We'll update those closer to the bottom of the hour, just after the bottom of the hour, in fact. When we'll talk with the folks at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. That happens at 2:32. Dave Dickey is here now. He'll take you through all of the day's agricultural news.
in agricultural news. Farm bill negotiators failed to reach a breakthrough over the weekend. Senate negotiators are calling on the White House to identify funding sources that would be acceptable. Senate Agriculture Committee spokesperson Kate Cyril says the biggest factor holding up the farm bill is the administration's failure to help identify funding sources. The Senate version of the bill contains a number of provisions that would affect the federal tax code in ways that would help pay for new or larger programs. The Bush administration has called such provisions budget gimmicks. The current farm bill expires on March 15th. Last Friday, House Agriculture Committee Chairman Colin Peterson said there would be no farm bill extension past March 15th, allowing permanent agriculture law to go into effect if negotiators don't reach compromise. Peterson says he would only support a short-term extension if an agreement is reached and Congress is tying up loose ends. Peterson says permanent law would speed up the process. In Peterson's words, "It will be a hell of a mess if we get permanent law. If we have permanent law for 2 or 3 weeks, we'd get a bill." U.S. Wheat Associates say end users needed to be more aggressive in the marketplace to protect against the current shortage of soft red winter wheat and escalating flour prices. Stuart Doan reports.
Demanding relief from high flour prices, the American Bakers Association wants USDA to curtail wheat exports until bakers and other domestic users are guaranteed the supplies they need. U.S. Wheat Associates President Alan Tracy counters that end users should have covered their needs earlier.
Some buyers have been asleep at the switch. We know of both domestic users and international users who are behind the eight ball and some who are very much on top of it and have their needs contracted forward. That's how the market works. If they don't take that option and they need to cover themselves when supplies are short, they're going to have to scramble and do so at higher prices. That's what's happening now.
According to Tracy, even if U.S. wheat production rebounds this year,
we'll only see our carryout supplies next year rise a little bit. So prices will still be healthy, both for our producers and from the buyer's side. They're just going to have to live with it.
I'm Stuart Down reporting.
U.S. food processors are calling on USDA to allow penalty-free exit of some Conservation Reserve Program acres in time for the 2009 growing season and to lower the 9-billion-gallon corn-based ethanol mandate for 2009. Last week, USDA reported food costs rose by 4% in 2007, the largest jump since 1990. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is the Director of Agricultural Programming at WILL Public Radio for the Farming World. Please come visit our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. I'm Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, reminding you that next Tuesday, March the 4th, over at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana, you can come see us at our all-day agricultural outlook meeting. We'll have Dan Bossy and Glenn Ring on hand. Should be a great day. See the website for all the details at willag.org. Now up next, you know, we call this the information age. You need proof? I've got it in the form of data for the Illinois Performance Tested Bull Sale. The bull sale is Friday at the Interstate Center in Bloomington. It's called the Illinois Performance Tested Bull Sale because from the time the animal is born until it is sold, its performance is documented. University of Illinois Extension beef specialist Dave Seibert says information is driving beef production in the United States.
We require these bulls to have numerous measurements, and that measurements are processed through the breed association. That includes all the way back to calving ease, birth weight, weaning weight, yearling weight, maternal milk, carcass traits. The Angus bulls have to be scanned. We got dollar value indexes. Whenever we bring those bulls down to process before the sale, we collect frame scores, pelvic measurements, scrotal circumference, weight per day of age. We structurally sound evaluate those bulls. So those bulls have to jump through many, 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 many hoops in order to get there. We require them to be Yoni's tested, the dam. We require this year a new thing. It's BVD, PI, ear notch tested. So, I mean, the list of things they have to jump through are many, many, and that's why only about 75% of our bulls make it there because of our numerous stringent requirements.
Data, data, and more data is collected on the bulls in an effort to provide a sound platform from which a buyer can make a good decision about how that bull will change, improve, and succeed in a herd.
Well, the only reason you buy any seed stock, whether that seed stock is a bushel of corn or a bushel of beans or a bull or even a heifer, is to their transmitting ability. And, of course, that's really their offsprings is what you're really concerned about. And, again, there's a thing called EPDs, expected progeny difference, that projects what the next generation will be. And that's what's driving the purebred industry. That's what's really driving the commercial industry when it buys genetics.
Speaking of buying, the Illinois performance-tested bull sale kicks off at 11 a.m. Friday morning, February the 29th, at the Interstate Center in Bloomington. Those interested in getting a feel for the animals prior to the sale can see the bill and performance data at www.iptbullsale.com. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Lernard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers in East Central Illinois. Lernard Seed Service provides customer services and agronomic information to help customers maximize profits. Lernard Seed Service, 217-497-2270. Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson's team of experts and strategic consulting approach utilize the latest technology. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
On a Monday afternoon, time to take a look at the cash grain market. The folks at the Andersons have been waiting patiently to join us this afternoon. I'll bet they've been busy. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Thanks much, Greg, for being on the line with us. Greg Johnson, of course, answering the phones, I would bet feverishly today, mostly asking about what's happening in the wheat market. Is that right?
Well, that was partially it, and then we did buy a fair amount of corn today. We did get over 5.25 for cash corn. We did get over $14 for the cash beans for the first time, but that didn't seem to generate as much interest. We definitely bought a lot of old crop corn today, and then a lot of questions, like you said, on the wheat and how high wheat could go and how that translates into wheat that we grow around here.
Are you watching with great interest the Minneapolis spectacle happen, I guess?
Yes, it's just amazing. It makes people think, you know, if we would have some weather problems this year, you know, I think the wheat market kind of proves that people will run it up a lot more than what you might think otherwise if we really do run into a short situation.
I guess they're thinking that mostly about the beans, aren't they?
Right, right. Although, you know, I don't think we'll run out of corn over the next 8 or 9 months, but it will be interesting to see if that acreage figure is a little bit more heavily weighted towards beans and corn. We have a situation then where the old crop beans are relatively tight, but we could have a surplus, relatively, you know, large amount of new crop beans coming on, and just the opposite in corn, where we have a lot of corn in the old crop, but relatively smaller acres in the new crop.
And very quickly, your prices for the day?
Cash corn, 520 up 11, new corn 517, cash beans 1408 up 32, new crop 1347, and new wheat 971.
Thanks much, Greg.
Thanks, Todd.
Greg Johnson is with the Andersons right here in Champaign County. Joined us on the Closing Mark Report on Monday afternoons. In 2 minutes, we'll take a look at the agricultural weather forecast.
It's St. Walburga Day. The nun was an English missionary to the Frankish Empire. She died on this date in 779 and was canonized on May 1st of 870. She is known as the patron of crops. It's also International Clam Chowder Festival Day and National Chocolate-Covered Peanuts Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1904, Adele Davis was born. She was a nutritionist and author of Let's Eat Right to Keep Fit. The book created a firestorm in the medical community, where doctors found on average one mistake per page. In 1918, on this date, wartime food rationing began in parts of England. The rationing was in response to German U-boats that were sinking imports of food. By the time rationing began, parts of England had just 6 weeks of food on hand. In 1922, Donald MacLean was born. MacLean was a Scottish potato expert who had one of the world's largest private collections of potatoes with 367 varieties. The potato revolution was credited to MacLean. He spent his life making the public aware of the innate diversity of potatoes, including cooking quality, pest and disease resistance, flavor, and appearance. And in 1934, Elizabeth Gertrude Knight Britton died. An American botanist, she helped establish the New York Botanical Gardens. Britton published more than 350 papers, including more than 170 on mosses. And that's this date in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason. Time now to take a look on a Monday afternoon at the agricultural weather forecast for the Midwest and the globe. Josh Darr of Chesapeake Energy in Chicago joins us this afternoon. Hi, Josh.
Hey, Todd. How's it going?
Oh, I'd love to talk about the globe and what's happening in the agricultural world, but boy, we just got hit by what appears to be another rough weather system over the next 24 to 38 hours.
Yeah, you're sure right. A couple weeks back, we had an episode like this where we had a heavy 4 to 6 inches across northern Illinois, eastern Iowa, and into northern or southern Wisconsin. Looks like we're on tap for a very similar event here over the next 24 hours. It's starting out mainly as rain across Illinois, a little bit of mixed precipitation near the Wisconsin-Illinois border. Tonight, that switches over, and we get a good solid 4 to 7 inches of snow, mainly from Champaign northward up through the very southern fringes of Wisconsin and west out to eastern Iowa. And this is not your light, fluffy variety. This is a very wet snow. So those folks that are out there shoveling are going to have their work cut out for them and hopefully not too much of a sore back after moving through this event.
No, thanks for letting us know about that. I'll be looking forward to moving that. Maybe I'll get the kids out on the
exactly.
driveway. Son of a gun. Well, after that, will it stick around for a while, or does it warm up? Or?
Yeah, the temps, it's a very pretty volatile situation from a temperature perspective here across the Midwest. We have a nice shot of cold air coming behind this. Things start to warm up towards the end of the week. You get another Arctic intrusion in the early portion of next week, and it's this volatile period of temperatures we're going to see. More days are going to average out. If you average out, say, the next 2 weeks, it's going to be colder than normal on the whole across the Midwest. And it's just the central and eastern U.S. for the next several weeks at least are favored for this cold bias as we start to end out the winter season.
Let's talk about the growing season as it progresses through harvest in South America. How are Argentine and Brazilian farmers progressing?
Well, Brazil's pretty much on a normal pace here. It continues to be a very active pattern, which is not abnormal for this time of year. So there's no rapid harvest ensuing across any portions of the belt in Brazil. Everything's plodding along as it normally does, just ducking through the thunderstorm activity. Further south, we're still interested in the pod stage of soybeans here. And the area that is of note is the far eastern belt. Northeastern Buenos Aires received rainfall over the weekend, which is beneficial for the crop. But as is Entre Rios and portions of Santa Fe, that have been pretty dry over the past couple weeks. So they look to get some rain later this week, which will be very timely as the crop finishes out the pod filling stage. So,
and then if you can take a look at some of the wheat growing regions of the planet, I'm interested mostly, I suppose, in the northern hemisphere at this time. Is that crop
sure as we kind of round out the winter and the crop starts coming out of dormancy? There's two areas of note right now. Northwest Africa, which isn't a huge production region but can swing export-import pretty significantly, they're seeing rains in central northern parts of Morocco, but the southern part of Morocco, which is a pretty key production area for that country as well as Algeria, has been dry, very dry over the past 6 to 8 weeks, as has northwestern Spain. So that's an area of dryness concern. And also southern India, that portion of the belt is very dry as well.
Josh, we appreciate you being with us today.
Thanks, Todd.
Yep, Josh Darr is with Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. That happens every Monday afternoon. Somebody from that office, and they're up on the Boeing, in the Boeing building. I think they're on the 22nd floor. looking to the north towards Wisconsin. We appreciate all the work they do for us. Thanks much for listening this afternoon. We hope to see you next Tuesday at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana, for our All Day Ag Outlook. I'm Todd Gleason.